Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
We have breaking news this hour. The Supreme Court forcing the Biden administration to reach a deal with Mexico to restart the President Trump era Remain in Mexico program has been approved by Mexico. The governments are planning to announce the agreement today. President Trump on Fox News.
Well, they should have never ended it. If Joe Biden would have come in and just gone to the beach, he would have been successful in many ways, because all of this stuff, the border was the best it ever was and getting better. Drugs coming in was getting at a level that we've never seen. What they're doing is destroying our country. Our country is being destroyed before your very eyes, and I've never seen anything like it.
The Remain in Mexico program requires asylum seekers to wait outside U.S. territory while their claims are processed. A source says the program will start again in border towns as soon as next week. But we should know more with today's announcement. USA Radio News.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
The federal government runs out of money tomorrow night. This means some government agencies would stop doing business until funding is reinstated. Democrat Senator Chuck Schumer blames Republicans.
Our Republican colleagues, meanwhile, can either work with us to move the process quickly through the chamber, or they can engage in obstructive tactics that will make a government shutdown almost a certainty.
Republican Senator John Kennedy says no one on either side of the aisle wants a shutdown.
No, I don't. There's no appetite, nor should there be on either side of the aisle.
Another aide to Vice President Kamala Harris is quitting her job. Simone Sanders, senior advisor and chief spokesman to VP Kamala Harris, is leaving her duties by the end of the year. Sanders was seen as one of the key staffers for Harris as a candidate. She's a staffer most frequently seen by her side. Ashley Entian, her communications director, announced the end-of-the-year departure last month and is no longer serving in the vice president's office. We are USA Radio News.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
As border guru, Vice President Kamala Harris has offered no leadership on the border crisis this week. She has other pressing matters on her plate.
Vice President Kamala Harris announced a new framework for space policy aimed at addressing growing threats in space posed by other nations, space debris, and also climate change. Harris outlined the framework before the U.S. National Space Council, which she chairs in Washington, D.C., during her first meeting with the council. She took aim at Russia in clear terms during her address. The new space policy framework comes on the heels of a Russian anti-satellite test on November 15th, which destroyed one of Russia's own satellites and created a cloud of space debris that continues to threaten astronauts and cosmonauts on the International Space Station. Harris said the Russian test was an irresponsible act which endangered the satellites of other nations as well as astronauts at the space station. She said the new space policy must demand responsibility from all spacefaring nations. Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg said during the meeting that the Department of Transportation, through the FAA, will address space safety and orbital debris through new regulations. From the USA Radio News Pacific Northwest Bureau, I'm Wendy King.
NASA astronauts Caleb Aron and Thomas Marshburn will venture outside the International Space Station this morning to replace a faulty antenna system. I'm Lance Pry, USA Radio News.
Do you have a home that you don't want anymore? We can buy it from you within 24 hours, any home, size, or condition. For over 20 years, we've been buying homes for cash and helping homeowners sell their homes immediately with no listings or strangers walking through your home. Are you moving? Did you lose your job? Going through a divorce? Whatever the reason, if you're in a bind and you know that you need to sell your house fast, call the expert team at I Need to Sell My House Fast. We'll make you a serious cash offer to buy your home in 24 hours and let you walk away from it. No listing, no waiting. Sell any home, any size, any condition now. Call the expert team at I Need to Sell My House Fast. Make this free call now.
800-430-0674. 800-430-0674. 800-430-0674. That's 800-430-0674.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
You better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. Stop.
Well, hello, America. Bill Martinez here, 6 minutes after the top of the hour, and we've got Jeremiah Johnston joining us. His new book about unleashing peace, experiencing God's shalom in your pursuit of happiness, will rock your world. And it will give you peace. I can hear Jeremiah already kind of smiling at that, but it will. Because, you know, at a time, Jeremiah, when this country is in such chaos, right, we always have to remember, but there's God.
That's
and
right.
God's purpose for his people is to have perfect peace. And the only way we can have perfect peace is being in him and with him. And so if you're not experiencing that perfect peace, maybe you need to stop and ask yourself a question. Are you with him or against him?
That's exactly right. And, Bill, I just want to say what a privilege it is to be on your program. I so appreciate your voice across the country. We need more of you. And it turns out that there is a viral spread of anxiety. There's an anxiety contagion in our country right now. And guess what, Bill? It turns out panic is as contagious as any other pathogen, and it's dangerous in its own right. And I wanted to write this book, Unleashing Peace, to teach everyone how we can experience the shalom. You use that awesome word. It's the most known but misunderstood word in the Christian lingo today, to teach God's people how they can actually experience God's peace now, no matter what trouble they face. You know, shalom's a word that comes up 550 times in the Bible, but a lot of believers, if they were really honest, they don't feel like they're experiencing the shalom of God like they'd like to.
Yeah, for some reason, believers believe that shalom is limited. Like, God only has so much shalom to hand out. They really, if you do a really deep dive on this, and I got to tell you, the Messianic Jew and author and my dear friend, Jonathan Kahn, shared with me, from a traditional Hebrew culture aspect of what shalom is, it is God's intention for his creation to have peace and to have peace abundantly. And when you really begin to embrace and apprehend what that means, it's like God is, pursuing us. You know, we may be running away in the wrong direction of God's peace, the very thing we want. But God says, hey, wait, I'm still pursuing you with my peace, because you really can't function with the divine purpose that God intended for you if you're outside of his peace, can you?
You're exactly right, Bill. And shalom is this, I think, after the name of Jesus, it is the greatest word in all the Bible. It's this in the Hebraic sense. That's what Paul had to learn it from, the Apostle Paul I'm talking about. Peace means completeness. It means wholeness. And so I'd ask your listeners, are you experiencing that today? Are you flourishing? And here's the other thing we need to blow apart, Bill. Living in shalom doesn't mean I don't have any problems or troubles. What's awesome about living in shalom as a follower of Jesus is it doesn't matter what troubles we face. And remember, our Savior said in John 16, hey, you're going to have tribulation in this world, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. What's amazing is we can live in shalom and we can experience it no matter what troubles we face. And exactly. This is what's really cool, is we have to learn that shalom is a discipline. I mean, Bill, I wish that I had a Nerf gun that had peace pellets and we could just fire them out at everyone that listens to your broadcast, but I can't.
Exactly.
And what I had to learn writing this book, and, you know, you're talking to a New Testament scholar. I'm a Gospels guy. I'm a historical Jesus scholar. I did my PhD on the physical bodily resurrection of Jesus, and I still needed to learn what the scriptures had to say about it. You brought up this great point. There's a lot of believers, they may have peace with God, but they're not experiencing the God of peace. And so we have to get beyond the bumper sticker theology, the tweetable sound bites, and that's why I wrote this book, Unleashing Peace, to guide the readers and God's people by the hand of, here is the shalom plan. Every family, every individual is listening. They need to have a plan for the peace of God in their life, and it is a discipline, and it's not a talent, it's not a spiritual gift, and as you rightly said, it is the will of God for all of your listeners to live in the peace of God right now.
And it is a process, Jeremiah, as you point out. I mean, it's not like all of a sudden you're going to hear our conversation and you're going to say, okay, I'm going to live in God's shalom. Well, let me tell you, as soon as you say that, get ready, because the challenges are going to come and you're going to find yourself go, oh, you know, this is, you know, you're like Paul, you know, the thing you want to do, you don't do, the thing you do, you don't, you know, but hey, welcome to the Jesus world. And God understood this, so it's okay. But the thing is that when we are practicing shalom and we're beginning to realize and embrace it, that can be rather contagious, because, you know, what I have from time to time, which really blesses me, is people will say, Bill, why are you so calm?
Right.
You know, and it's not me. It's God's shalom in me at that moment has taken me over and kept my feet on the ground, and understanding that, look at, we live in a different world, as you say. We live in a world of tribulation. This is the result of the fall of the garden. We're living that out, that judgment, and we're going through that process. So we're going to have, with the good times and with the blessed times of God's shalom, we're going to get the opposite, because, you know, the demonic is still there. Satan is still there to say, well, you know, hey, did God really say? And he's out to try to prove God to be a liar. And he's unrelenting to that end, isn't he?
He is. And I think it's so important that you're encouraging the listeners so much, because, yes, shalom happens when we have a plan, but it is a process. We come to Christ in a moment, but the peace of God is something we have to learn. And the Apostle Paul had to learn it. And, Bill, if I may, if our listeners would look at their Bible in 2 Corinthians, and remember, Paul's called the Job of the New Testament. He had so many problems that people thought God wasn't really with him. And in the second chapter of 2 Corinthians, he had a great opportunity in front of him when he was at Troas, but he had no peace of mind. He did not have the shalom because he was so full of anxiety. And so he moved on from Troas, and he didn't reach his potential there. And it took him 7 years to figure it out, because he writes that he has no peace of mind in 2 Corinthians. That's AD 55. Bill, 7 years later, he writes in Philippians 4, the greatest anti-anxiety passage in all the Bible. He gives us the greatest passage on shalom in all the Bible. Paul would have been a Hebrew scholar. Somehow, I don't know how he does it, Bill, he literally compartmentalizes, he brings together Habakkuk chapter 3, Psalm 37, and Matthew 6, and he comprises it all in 32 words in Philippians 4:8. Finally, my brothers, and he tells us with one verb, when you think about certain things, beginning with truth, that is the first step to the peace, the shalom of God.
Yeah. Well, and that's where it begins. You have to approach God understanding God's character, his unmitigated character that is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And this is the problem that we get into. It's kind of like the Cain complex. We think that God somehow is going to, you know, accommodate us based on our standard, but God has the standard. We have to accommodate God. We have to come to God on his terms, not the other way around, don't we?
That's exactly right. And the great news is there's a plan to do that in the scriptures, and that's why I'm so excited with the response we're getting to this book, because guess what? I haven't met a believer yet that doesn't say, hey, Bill, I want to have more peace of God in my life.
Amen. Unleashing peace, experiencing God's shalom in your pursuit of happiness. Isn't that what you want? And we've got Dr. Jeremiah Johnston with us, and we're going to talk further on the other side of the break. Stay with us. We're coming on just about 15 minutes after the top of the hour.
You've seen crazy diets to lose weight? At GCN Team, our healthy body weight loss system simply neutralizes the body, bringing down cravings. It has been proven that nutritional deficiencies drive appetite for carbs, sugars, and fats. Lose weight the easy way. Find us at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Fighting cravings is a fool's game. Give the body what it needs to be satisfied. Again, 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
You've heard that supply lines are down or moving slow. And that most everything costs more these days. But good news. High-quality Sunny Bay products are in stock and ready to ship now because they're made in the USA. Like our extra-long neck heating pads. They provide soothing relief to painful sore necks and backs, are microwavable, and come in a variety of colors and patterns. What a great gift! An extra-long neck heating pad from Sunny Bay. Also available in lavender scented. Buy now in time for the holidays and avoid any shipping delays. Available on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, and sunny-bay.com. Just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. They're great for men or women, are reusable and easy to clean. So this year, give the gift of pain relief, an extra long neck wrap from Sunny Bay. Remember, just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pads. Order now when our stock is high and shipping is fast. And happy holidays from Sunny Bay.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Why have thousands of aspiring authors teamed up with Christian Faith Publishing to publish their book? Because Christian Faith Publishing is an author-friendly publisher who understands that your labor is more than just a book. We provide authors freedom and flexibility throughout the publishing process, professional book editing, award-winning design, and some of the highest royalty structures in the publishing industry. And as always, you will retain 100% of the rights to your book.
I was looking to find a company that I could trust, one that assisted in the editing process completely.
The most important qualities that I was looking for was a publisher who was honest and upfront, no hidden costs or fees, and owning the rights to my own work.
Christian Faith Publishing will publish, market, and sell your books in all major bookstores, online booksellers, as well as specialty Christian bookstores. Call for your free author submission kit.
800-978-4811. 800-978-4811. 800-978-4811. That's 800-978-4811.
The old way of living with diabetes is a pain. You've got to remember to do your testing, and you always need to be sticking your fingers. The new way to live your life with diabetes is with a continuous glucose monitor. You simply apply a discreet, easy-to-use sensor on your body, and it continuously monitors your glucose levels, helping you spend more time in range and freeing you from painful finger pricks. If you test your blood sugar at least 4 times per day and inject insulin at least 3 times per day, or use an insulin pump and have private insurance or Medicare, you might be eligible for a CGM with little or no cost to you. Call U.S. Medical Supply today for a free benefits check. We offer free shipping, 90-day supplies, and we bill Medicare or your insurance directly. Call now and say goodbye to finger pricks.
800-628-7226. 800-628-7226. 800-628-7226. That's 800-628-7226.
the way you like to hear from us, fresh and independent. I am Bill Martinez, and right now we're pursuing truth with Dr. Jeremiah Johnson. His book is Unleashing Peace, Experiencing God's Shalom in Your Pursuit of Happiness. Who doesn't want God's peace? And, and as we were saying before, Jeremiah, that our culture is so surrounded by chaos. I mean, we've gone through this phase of lawlessness, and all this is a rumbling, signs that Jesus warned us about, and they're only going to intensify. Because the thing that I find quite curious in the midst of all this is I see people instinctively looking to the heavens.
Right.
And my question is, what are you looking for?
Yeah. There is no peace outside of Jesus Christ, Bill. I mean, that's the thesis is, I mean, how do we spell shalom? It's Jesus, J-E-S-U-S. Mm. Peace, shalom in the scriptures. We need to know this. It's always connected to Jesus Christ. And, Bill, there's a lot of religious people listening to you, and I want to say this. The first step is you've got to have peace with God. You will not have the peace of God unless you have peace with God. And so that's Romans 5:1. Therefore, being justified by faith, not through your works, not through your religion, we have peace, shalom, with God, Paul says in Romans 5:1. And then once we have peace with God through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, that's where that discipline of living shalom comes into play. And, Bill, I wouldn't believe it if it wasn't in the Bible, okay? If it wasn't in the authority of the scriptures, I wouldn't believe it's possible. But we were talking on the other side of the break about the greatest anti-anxiety passage in the scriptures, that Paul had to learn this, because I believe Paul was a professional worrier. I believe Paul was full of anxiety. Yes. But in Philippians 4:6, he says, do not be anxious about anything, but pray about everything. Give thanks, and then the peace of God will be with you, verse 7. And then verse 9, you'll have the God of peace. And so my heart, though, Bill, is breaking for so many Christian families who are struggling with mental pain right now. And C.S. Lewis really set it up beautifully in about the stigma in his book, The Problem of Pain. And I actually have this at the very front of my book, because Lewis made this incredible remark. He said that mental pain is less dramatic than physical pain, but it's more common and more hard to bear. And then he said the frequent attempt to conceal mental pain increases the burden. And he follows it up by saying it's easier to say my tooth is aching than my heart is broken. And there's a lot of people that are listening to us right now. They love Jesus, they're Christians, but they have broken hearts that God's shalom needs to heal. And I'm praying that this book will help show them through the scriptures, guide them by the hand, how their heart can be healed by the shalom of Jesus.
And what they need to hear also, Jeremiah, not only from scripture, but also from experience. You know, when you read about Paul and what Paul, like you say, I love how you say it, he's a professional worrier. When you think about it, you go, yeah, he is. There's no doubt about it. But the stories he's telling are so raw about his direct I mean, it wasn't like Paul had an easy life. Like, God met him on the Damascus Road. Jesus met him on and said, hey, it's all going to be cool, man. Just party on, dude. And no, I mean, it was like, wow, you know, here we are. We're in chains. We're beaten. We're stoned, you know, what, three times, you know, left for dead. All this experience that he went through. And out of it, he doesn't lose his peace. Ultimately, he comes back, but he understands, and like you were saying earlier, yes, the scriptures remind us, but we have to realize that Jesus himself said very directly, I am the way. The very thing that you want and lack, you have got to come to Jesus, because he is the way to the Father in order for you to apprehend the very thing that you need, the very thing that is aching in your heart, that hole in your heart that you need to be filled. But you're not going to get there until you first come to the cross.
That's exactly right. And then once we come to the cross, Bill, with your experience, you know that we have biblical illiteracy at an all-time high in our churches.
Absolutely.
We have Christians who are going to Google instead of God's Word. And so I want to say this in love, but as you and I feel a kindred spirit with you, because you're a Christian thinker, and my ministry is called Christian Thinker Society. But I want to say this lovingly to all the believers listening to us. You know, there's a stupid peace and there's a smart peace. And the Christian's peace is not by making yourself stupid. It's by making yourself as aware of your beliefs as possible, as thoughtful as possible. And so it's not until you love the truth that the truth will set you free. And
exactly.
Paul, keep in mind, though, I love that we're talking about this. Paul, we think, saw the Lord four times. We can speculate he may have seen him three other times, but we know for sure the Lord Jesus appeared four times to the Apostle Paul. We know for sure he heard the Lord's actual voice in 2 Corinthians 12 answer his prayer, "No, Paul, my grace is sufficient." So think about that. Paul had five experiences with the Lord, and he still was so full of anxiety in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 that he said, "I had no peace of mind." And so listen, if Paul who saw the Lord four times is going to struggle with anxiety, I am too. And so I need to do what Paul did. I need to learn the peace of God. This is what's so cool about my book, is I wanted to write a book that would teach people how you learn the peace of God. And there's really great, I'm a big practical immediate steps guy. It's filled with dozens of ways that you learn the peace of God in your life, in your family. And let me tell you, we got to learn it, because we have an anxiety contagion that is putrid, and it's lurking in our churches right now like crazy. There's so much fear out there, and there doesn't need to be, because we have the shalom of God. We have the answer.
Yeah, we need to release a peace pandemic.
Amen.
On behalf of the Christian brotherhood.
I'm going to use
and
this
sisterhood.
Tour events.
Oh, please do this, because this is from God. And the other thought that comes to mind here, Jeremiah, is that because this has long been a challenge for me. When I first read, because of the blood of Jesus, we can enter into the throne room of God.
Yes.
Right? To find his grace and mercy in time of need. I mean, imagine you're going in the throne room of God as Paul did, as other believers and everyday believers who enter into the throne room of God. That's what gets me excited, when you're there and you hear these stories of other people entering in, and people go, "Well, I'm not entering in. Why am I not entering in?" Well, because we have to be intentional. We have to be serious about God. He's very prescriptive about how it is that we worship God. And first of all, as you said, yes, Jesus is the answer. He's the portal to bring us into that throne room of God, to hear from God himself, to know that the devil is a liar. He always was a liar. He always will be a liar. He always questions whether or not God did or did not say. And God says, look it, you know, draw near to me. I'll draw near to you. I will tell you, show you great and mighty things that you know not. But if we're not going to be intentional and purposeful to that end, we are not going to get that revelation that, clearly the psalmist writes about and says, look at, without revelation, the people cast off restraint. And when you cast off restraint, you're like that punctured hot air balloon that's pal-mal all over the place in a chaotic frenzy. And look at America today. I mean, this is what it seems like. And those chaotic balloons that are flying around, guess what they're looking for? They're looking, even instinctively, they're looking for others who are anchored. Who are anchored to the truth of God, that will give them some encouragement. And this is what we're here for. We are here to point people to Jesus, to the Father, are we not?
That's exactly right. And let me tell you something really cool, Bill. And Jesus personified shalom. So if you want to know what shalom looks like lived out, just look at Jesus. And if I may say this, Bill, one of the neatest, most countercultural truths about the life of Jesus that showed how he personified the truth of shalom in his life, Jesus Christ was unprovocable. And I want everyone who's listening to us to hear what I just said. Jesus was unprovocable. Did he stand for truth? Absolutely and unapologetically. But you couldn't provoke the man. Pilate couldn't do it. The Pharisees couldn't do it. The Sadducees couldn't do it. His disciples couldn't do it. And guess what, Bill? We have a lot of Christians that are way too provocable. And there's a whole industry out there. Every time you open your phone, and your audience will touch their phone 2,000 times today, and they'll see 10,000 media messages today full of lies before they go to bed, just trying to provoke them. And if you're constantly being provoked, you're not going to live in the shalom of God. So hey, let's make a commitment to be like Jesus and be unprovocable. That's the first step to living in shalom.
Well, Jesus was anchored in the eternal, purpose. That's the example, and that's what we need to look. Let go of the things of this world. They're of no value. And we need to reach for that higher calling that we've been destined for, that God is calling us to. It's the reason why Jesus came and went to the cross, that we could live, you know, without fear of sin or death. This is awesome. And if that doesn't give you peace, I don't know what will.
Amen.
Dr. Jeremiah Johnson, his book, all about unleashing peace.
Nobody wants to get ripped off, broken into, or robbed, but nobody wants... wants to pay a lot of money to have their home protected either.
I've got an offer to tell you about to provide home security for your home for less than a dollar a day. For real, with no installation or equipment charges. And this is from a company rated number one by a leading consumer research company. According to the facts, most of you won't even call unless there's a burglary in your neighborhood or something bad happened. So let's give you a reason. Save money. For less than a dollar a day with no other costs, you can get your home secured. Plus, get a lifetime equipment replacement warranty. You need protection for your home. Call the Home Security Hotline right now.
800-755-7921. 800-755-7921. 800-755-7921. That's 800-755-7921.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
We have breaking news this hour. The Supreme Court forcing the Biden administration to reach a deal with Mexico to restart the President Trump era Remain in Mexico program has been approved by Mexico. The governments are planning to announce the agreement today. President Trump on Fox News.
Well, they should have never ended it. If Joe Biden would have come in and just gone to the beach, he would have been successful in many ways, because all of this stuff, the border was the best it ever was and getting better. Drugs coming in was getting at a level that we've never seen. What they're doing is destroying our country. Our country is being destroyed before your very eyes, and I've never seen anything like it.
The Remain in Mexico program requires asylum seekers to wait outside U.S. territory while their claims are processed. A source says the program will start again in border towns as soon as next week. But we should know more with today's announcement. USA Radio News.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau de Arco Super Tea helps build the red corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. That's shop, S-H-O-P, super, S-U-P-E-R, T-T-E-A, .com. So the complete website is shopsupertea.com, or call us at 818-984-6100, Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5, California time. That's shopsupertea.com at 818-984-6100.
Great stuff there from Dr. Jeremiah Johnson, huh? Wow, I'm telling you, what a must-have book. Looking for Peace, he's got some great answers there. And, and be blessed. That's what this is all about. Our next guest has always been a blessing. He's a Messianic rabbi. Incredible story. And you got to think about this when you hear the term Messianic rabbi. People, well, what does that mean, Messianic? This is someone who was raised in the Jewish traditions, that, and the Jewish tradition does not acknowledge Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. A Messianic rabbi acknowledges and accepts that Jesus came and he will come again, and to be outside of that, of those traditions can be very problematic. If you think not, watch Fiddler on the Roof and understand a little bit about tradition. And the rabbi tells his story, Rabbi Kurt Schneider tells his story in his new book, Called to Breakthrough. It's an autobiography. It's his riveting true story of faith and triumph in the midst of persecution in this book, Called to Breakthrough. Rabbi, shalom, good to have you with us, and happy Hanukkah, by the way.
Shalom to you, my brother Bill. Thank you so much. Good to connect with you again.
Always. I am so excited to talk to you and to have our audience hear your story, because, the fact of the matter is we all have our challenges, and we all go through particular levels of persecution. Yours, as I sent out, being raised as an Orthodox Jew, to break out and say, look, at I am going to move against tradition, and I'm going to believe in Jesus, that Jesus is my Lord and Savior, which now moves you into the arena of a messianic rabbi that can be a bit disconcerting. I know I went through a little bit of a challenge, with my parents, for example, in a minor sort of way. My parents were so loving and very accommodating on many levels, but I was raised a Catholic. You know, went to Catholic school, was an altar boy, went through all this, and even up until my senior year in high school, I was still thinking that I may enter into the seminary and become a priest, all right? Well, you imagine when my parents found out that I started doing some work with the Billy Graham Crusade. That was disturbing to them. And we had these conversations, but I can only imagine what you went through much more amplified and much more problematic as compared to what I went through.
Yeah, well, you definitely have some insight from your experience, just for the purposes of integrity. So I didn't grow up in an Orthodox Jewish background. I was born in a conservative Jewish synagogue. So my family was very typical of the majority of American Jewish people in America. Mm-hmm. You know, we're very, very Jewish in terms of our mm-hmm. cultural identity. You know, like my dad would say, I'm a Jew from the top of my head to the bottom mm-hmm. of my feet. But when it comes to relating our Jewishness to religion and God, a lot of times there's a big break there. So I was raised in a very strong culturally Jewish environment. All my friends were Jewish growing up. My school was actually closed. My public school was actually closed on Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, etc., because no one would have been at school. We were all Jews. But
yes.
Yeah, so, when I became a believer in Yeshua, when he revealed himself to me supernaturally, Bill, back in 1978, when I knew nothing about him, he was as far away to me as the man on the moon. I mean, as a Jew, Jesus for me was just like totally he just was not somebody that touched my life in any way, shape, or form. I mean, I never thought about him. I had no interest in him. It was just something that, you know, turned me off and was just far away. He was the God of the Gentiles. But I was lost and struggling at this time of my life. I had wrestled all through school, so I was a very, very committed athlete. Got a small wrestling scholarship to college. But when that ended, when wrestling ended for me, the college that I went to school, got a scholarship with, they actually dropped the wrestling program. So everything that I had built my life on since seventh grade, the sport of wrestling, was now gone. Mm-hmm. And without that identity and without that purpose, I was very, very lost. I didn't know who I was. Suddenly I found myself facing a world that was a lot bigger than 119 pounders, and I was scared, and I felt vulnerable, and I realized, you know, I'm probably not going to die of cancer, but I could. I probably won't get in a car wreck, but I could. All these things that I had blocked out of my mind because I just buried myself in wrestling where I was in control, I couldn't block out anymore. So I was lost and struggling. And one night in the midst of this struggle, I went to sleep, know that no one had ever talked to me about Jesus. I had never read the New Testament. Again, he was the farthest thing from my mind. But on a summer night in 1978, when I was 20 years old, Jesus appeared to me in my sleep through a vision of the night, in the middle of the night. And it lasted no more than 1.5 seconds. But that brought me instantly to faith. And what happened was, in color, Jesus appeared on the cross. I could see the terrain. There was even people in the background looking on from a distance, and then a ray of red light from straight through the sky, Bill, beamed down on Jesus' head. When I saw that beam of red light beam down on his head, I knew the light was coming from God. It was coming from even above the blue sky. It came from like above the sky, through the blue sky, onto Jesus' head. And as an American, I knew the person on the cross was Jesus, so I knew that much. Mm-hmm. What happened was, I realized from that God was showing me, because that ray of light was symbolically coming from straight above, God was showing me that Jesus was the way to him. So instantly I believed, and I started telling everybody about it. And at first my parents didn't react much, because they thought, you know, it was probably just a dream and he'll, you know, be over it in 2 days. But when I kept on talking about it and eventually started, you know, telling everybody that I knew about it, someone eventually said to me, you need to go get a New Testament. So I went out, bought a New Testament, started devouring the New Testament. And at that point, when I would go to my parents and start showing them verses in the New Testament, thought they would be as excited as I was. At that point, they became very concerned.
Yes. Now, New Testament, certainly, there's a lot in the New Testament that references the Old Testament. And then when you look in the Old Testament, certainly this is what it is. I mean, it's the pre-announcement of Jesus. So you start reading the Old Testament a little bit differently, don't you?
Well, absolutely. When I was in Hebrew school preparing for my bar mitzvah, they really didn't teach us the Hebrew Bible. We call it the Tanakh. That's the Hebrew word to say Old Testament. They really didn't teach us, in my experience, about the God of Israel in such a way that you were made to feel that you had a personal relationship with him, that you were someone that he was his friend. It was more mechanical. It was more like learning how to read Hebrew, learning how to write Hebrew, etc. So when I started reading the New Testament, I mean, it was like a whole new thing for me. And my parents became very alarmed as I continued to press into this, eventually started going to churches. And, I mean, they were very, very shamed. They thought that I was mentally ill and, you know, took some radical action to try to stop me in pursuing this this faith of mine, the first of which was we were living in Cleveland, Ohio, and they hired the most famous deprogrammer in the world at the time. His name is Ted Patrick, who was living in California. He's well known. Our listeners can look him up online. He actually was eventually arrested for kidnapping people in relationship to his deprogramming activities, but parents would hire him to kidnap their children to deprogram them from cults. So my parents hired this guy. He and his goons flew in from California. My dad told me we're going to go talk to somebody about buying a business. And I don't mean to call his friend, you know, the people they brought with him goons, but they were just big guys to enforce what he was doing.
And how old were you at this point, Rabbi, when this happened?
Like,
how old were you?
I was like 20, 21 years old, yep.
Oh, wow. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Okay. So you got these people coming. I'll tell you what. We're going to go to break. Let's save it for the other side. And the story will continue as this Messianic rabbi, Rabbi Kurt Schneider, tells his story. It's from his book, Called to Breakthrough, an autobiography. Stay with us. We've got more from the rabbi after this.
Are you paying too much for term life insurance? There's a tremendous price war among the major term life companies. Rates have dropped dramatically in the past 2 years. For example, a man age 45 non-tobacco user, $1 million of coverage is only $75 per month, level for the next 10 years. Or a man age 50 non-tobacco user can buy $500,000 of coverage for a monthly premium of only $110, guaranteed not to change for the next 20 years. That's right, level rates for 20 years. And if you're a smoker, we have great rates for you as well. At the Term Lifeline, we specialize in policies of $500,000 and above. So if you're looking for new or replacement term life insurance, call right now for a free quote.
Rates and availability may vary by state. Sample rate quotes are based on preferred non-tobacco underwriting exam required to qualify.
855-525-7448. 855-525-7448. 855-525-7448. That's 855-525-7448.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may
allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-536-4436. That's 800-536-4436. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-536-4436.
We've entered a time where sky truly is the limit and opportunity awaits. The Internet has become a platform of everyone's worldwide communications. Billionaires building businesses on platforms that didn't even exist a generation ago. But in the sea of noise, how can the voice of your business be heard? The secret is over 100 years old. Radio, 228% more effective than TV. That's 228% more effective than television. Brick and mortar and cyber businesses alike have found radio to be the most effective for building a brand and delivering customers. Learn the secrets of radio advertising by calling 877-996-4327 or email advertise@gcnlive.com. That's advertise@gcnlive.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Extendovite really works. Here are some reviews from Amazon.com. John Hess, 5 out of 5 stars. Awesome. Probably my only review, but at age 40, I was getting bad heart throb and left arm pain, mainly before bed. I even stopped smoking and drinking sodas for a month, and that didn't work. After one day of taking Extendovite, it was gone and hasn't returned in 3 years. I've ordered Extendovite 13 times, so Amazon just said. Juliet Hordick. I've ordered this product before in liquid form. It is fantastic. My whole family's been on it. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Rabbi Kurt Schneider, his new book, Called to Breakthrough, an autobiography, which is quite revealing. Before we pick up from where we left off, Rabbi, I mean, interesting that this time and season that you would write an autobiography. What prompted you to do this?
Wow, it's actually been in my spirit for some time to do it. And I don't know. That's really a good question. I've never really asked myself why now. I guess I've distrusted that this was the time to do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, for me, you know, as I'm reading parts of your book and I'm just seeing this, I'm going, wow, you know, your story is the story of so many others whose families, and all of a sudden they find, wait a minute, what's happening with my child here? Where are they going here? And but again, it's consistent with the Word of God. God said that there will be that time when you will have that, that antithetical dynamic that goes on in families. But he also says there will be that time when the hearts of the fathers will be torn toward the sons and the sons toward the father. So I kind of see this as a, you know, kind of an onion skin experience. You know, it's another layer being pulled back. And your story is an encouragement to others who have experienced similar things. I mean, certainly I could relate, as I shared with you, you know, when we first started, you know, talking about your book and what I'd gone through and the kind of uncomfortability my parents had. What's happening with our Catholic son? You know, he's going to the priesthood one moment, next minute he's working with, the Billy Graham Ministries. You know, is he become, some sort of heathen? And not to mention, you know, my parents, I mean, I had Catholic priests that I served under for many years. And, they tried to shame me as well. You know, now that I, you know, think back on it, you know, some of those old wounds, you know, you set aside, you know, by God's grace and mercy, you know, and fortunately they're there in the background, but they're not part of the future that God has held for me.
Right, right.
Well, it's true, and it's good to suffer some resistance. It's important. Mm. You know, the scripture says, all that desire to live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. So, yeah, we have kind of extreme examples. You know, when I was sharing with you, my dad hired the most famous deprogrammer in the country, flew him in from California to Cleveland, Ohio, and my dad told me that he wanted to go with me to talk to somebody about buying a restaurant, that we were going to be in business together. So we drove to this hotel. I was anticipating it was going to be a business meeting. Instead, what happens, we walk in the hotel room where the business meeting was supposed to take place, Bill, and they've got a short, distinguished-looking man in the room in a three-piece suit. This is back in the 70s. Then we had two of his, like, bodyguards with him. Of course, I didn't know they were bodyguards at the time. We walk in the room. The door closes behind me. And this short, distinguished man in the three-piece suit says to me, Kurt, we're going to talk about cults. And then he starts showing me a film of the Hare Krishnas, and he points to a little kid in the film, you know, like 6 years old, I don't know, a little kid, 4 years old, whatever, and he says to me, see that kid? There's nothing we can do for that kid. All that kid has ever known is Hare Krishna. Then he looked at me and said, but you've been living for 20 years like a normal person, and I'm going to snap you out of this. You've been reading the most dangerous book in the Bible all the time. You've been giving all your money away to the church, and I consider it a personal challenge to snap you out of this. So from there, his bodyguards drove me in my vehicle to San Diego, California, where they had the rehabilitation house set up. And basically, you know, I was kidnapped. They took away my keys to my vehicle. They took away my wallet. And basically, I was either in their rehabilitation home, or I was they dropped me off on the beach in the day, and then they took me to the bars at night. And their whole mindset was, if we could just get him away from who's ever programming him, then you know, he's going to snap out of it. But you know,
so they're taking you to the bars at night.
Yeah. Yep.
So anything to disrupt whatever. Now, as you're leaving and you're being, in a sense, abducted, so to speak, what are you saying to your dad?
Well, I don't have any communication with him at this point.
But I mean, in that process, when you're in that room and here you're being taken out, he knows what's going to happen to you. You have no idea.
Right.
What do you say to your dad as you're leaving, you know, leaving the room?
Well, the odd thing is, I can't explain it, but I had no animosity towards my parents. Mm-hmm. I had no ill will. I had no hostile feelings. I'm not even sure why. I can't even explain it. I mean, obviously, if something like that happened now, I would be, you know, very upset. But at the time, I don't know what it was, but I just went along with it. I just was like, this is an interesting dynamic of what happened. I'm in the hotel room. The guy says to me, I'm going to snap you out of this, you know, this deprogrammer.
Yeah.
I said, I'm not programmed. I said, I just believe that Jesus is the Messiah. And I stood up and I said, can I leave? And one of the big goons said, sit down. So then I said, we're in the hotel room now. I'm trapped in the room. And then I said, well, this was before they took me to California. I said, well, can I go into the bathroom? So they let me go into the bathroom in the room, closed the door, got down on my knees, Bill. And I said, Lord, I don't know what's in front of me here, but I ask you to keep me. And so that was it. I was just trusting Jesus. And, you know, it's really a riveting story. I hope a lot of your listeners will investigate my story, because it really is an amazing thing what God does with someone's life if we'll just innocently, with a childlike faith, trust him. And it's kind of like you and I were talking during the break a second ago, Bill. You know, when we go through difficulties, they're really redemptive times if we embrace them as being from the Lord's hand. So, yeah, the bottom line with that story, I was there in San Diego for 3 weeks. Finally, after 3 weeks, they took me over to the head deprogrammer's house. He wasn't staying at the rehabilitation house where I was. He had his own house there. They took me over to his house for dinner. I said to him, can I leave? And he said, yeah, you can leave. The next day, they gave me back my keys, and I drove home. I actually felt very bad for my parents that they had spent all this money. And, you know, obviously, I knew that they were hurt by their Jewish son, you know, betraying them by, you know, becoming a believer in Jesus. But I felt actually bad for them that they had spent all this money, you know, and it really was not going to do anything to take away their pain of the course of life that the Lord had chosen for me.
So 3 weeks after this indoctrination and alleged attempt at reprogramming you, you're leaving, and what's the bottom line? Are you convinced all the more, or was there particular breakthroughs for what they tried to convince you? What was the status of your mentality at that point?
I think my mentality was I was a little more sensitive and sympathetic to how disruptive my faith was to my parents. So I said to myself, I'm going to be a little less vocal about it. But it wasn't really possible for me to change much because I was so passionate about Jesus, you know, so passionate that, you know, I was who I was. I mean, so what my parents did next was they hired a Jewish psychiatrist to come over my home. And basically this Jewish psychiatrist shows up one day. We sit down at my dining room table. My parents are home. And I'm still quite immature in my ability to recognize what's going on. Because I just laid it on this Jewish psychiatrist. I just told him, you know, what would happen to me if Jesus didn't save me? Mm-hmm. And we went on for about an hour. I just shared my story. After the psychiatrist left, I drove over one of my Christian friends' house. By this time, I had Christian friends. I had been walking with the Lord for over a year now. And I actually went to one of my Christian friends, and I said, I made mincemeat out of this psychiatrist, man. I really laid Jesus on him, I said. Well, what the psychiatrist's whole purpose was he was baiting me to tell him I had a vision of Jesus so he could get me probated to the psychiatric ward of a hospital.
Oh. Right.
So he went to a Jewish, it wasn't a Jewish hospital, but a hospital in Cleveland, and Mount Sinai Hospital, had me probated there for 2 months. At that time, a psychiatrist, on his own word, could get somebody probated. That's not like that anymore. Patients, you know, not patients, but citizens have more rights because it was being taken advantage of. So I was actually locked up in this ward for 2 months because of my faith in Jesus. After two months, the law read that the one that was probated against their will could go before a board of psychiatrists, and then the board of psychiatrists would determine whether it was appropriate to hold the person here. So they brought me before the board. I told my story. They said, we don't have any right to hold them here, and they released me. So that was the second thing that happened. And it's been rough.
We've got about 2 minutes left here, Rabbi. So we're going to have to wrap this up a little bit. But so here, like you say, the second time. And what is God showing you? What is God telling you during this period of time?
Well, I don't know if he was specifically telling me anything. I think what he was doing was just marking me that I'm his. Mm-hmm. You know, that I'm his, that I've been chosen out of the world. And that he was just preparing me, you know, for worldwide ministry. He was, you know, putting me in a position to stand for my faith against all opposition, to go through times of weakness so that his power could be perfected in my weakness as I clung to him through these episodes. And I think he was just uniquely marking me to be a voice and a servant of his in the earth, as someone that's been set apart and to stand out for him.
Exactly. Well, a voice like yours, and with all your experience, is especially needed for a time such as this, don't you think?
Absolutely. I think all of us need to play our part and lift our voice.
Because the fact of the matter is Yeshua is coming back. I mean, this is what the early Christians understood in Acts 1. It was that even though Jesus had just left, they were left with this impression and promise from Jesus himself that he would be returning. And that has been our expectation for over 2,000 years, unless we forget. And we were also told in the Old Testament, even in Jesus' words, that we would see these signs. And these signs seem to be coming at us with increasing rapidity. We've got about 10 seconds left, Rabbi, so I'm going to let you wrap this up, okay?
Well, I would just really encourage somebody, in a true sense of the word, to get my book, Called to Breakthrough. I think it'll be an encouragement for everybody that reads it.
Folks, looks like food shortages are here and going to stick around. Supply chains are breaking down, and inflation is back with a vengeance. It's all part of the shortage economy. What used to be unthinkable is now in the headlines. Are you ready? Do you currently have a stockpile of emergency food at home? If not, go to MyPatriotSupply.com today, and you'll find an emergency food kit that's right for you and your family. My Patriot Supply is the largest preparedness company in America, serving millions of families like yours. Pick up a 3-month food kit that stays fresh for up to 25 years in proper storage. The meals in the kit provide over 2,000 delicious calories a day. That's important when you need to survive. Order from MyPatriotSupply.com and your food will ship fast in unmarked boxes to protect your privacy. Don't wait for permission or more empty store shelves. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com now. MyPatriotSupply.com.